Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts, the podcast where nothing is off limits.
That's right.
Yeah, that's damn right.
Especially our emotions.
That is, yeah, we've been quite emotional on the podcast recently.
We have.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to teach him to open up.
We are talking about it on a personal level now.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Wow.
Ben, we're still here with you as well.
Hello.
Hello.
Still here.
Yeah, still here, buddy. hey, it was your birthday the other day.
Yeah, Sunday.
22. That is mad. 22. I'm 11 years
older. Scary.
I'm 11 years older than you. When I was your age, I was doing nothing compared. I was just being a plonker. That's all I was doing.
You were on a hit reality show.
Oh, that's
show.
True. Yeah, I forgot. I totally forgot. I was on a hit show. Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
I was killing it. Yeah.
22 with the hangovers of a 120-year-old, though. Hangovers are awful.
Everyone's like, get over you. When did you
22. Get? 22. I didn't get them until 27.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lie. Bad. You used to get them at 24 really sometimes.
I love that you know my
I do, I remember.
Hangover history.
I remember.
They weren't bad, but it's 27 beyond.
Are 27 sucks.
Can you like wake up in the morning and cook everyone breakfast sort of thing?
Cook
like that sort of.
I can't do that when I'm not hungover. So
if I go and drink and I smoke cigarettes, because sometimes I do that social smoking thing, then my hangover the next day is so
worse or better.
Terrible. If I have espresso martinis as well,
the caffeine crash as well. Yeah,
nails me.
I had one of those last night.
Where did you go last night?
Went for a little Mexican. So Jamie had a launch of his new Candy Kittens Brewdog special.
Wow. Yeah, don't worry about it.
The beers were 6%. And I've only just started drinking again after 100 days. Yeah. So I was drunk very quickly. And then
what time did you get to bed?
Let's carry on. I was early. I couldn't handle it. I was like fucking falling all over the place. So I got into bed like 11:30.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
You look quite fresh today.
I was going to say. It doesn't get hangovers, does it?
Yeah.
So 100 days of no boozing, it does.
That's impressive. That's really impressive.
We had a bet on it.
Yeah, really? Is that what?
Yeah, we bet.
I won.
Nice.
I said I would give £1,000 to charity if he didn't drink for 100 days.
Yeah.
But I still think something sneaky went on, even though we did a lie detector.
We got a lie detector coming because he didn't believe me.
Yeah, I still don't believe you. I think you cheated at something.
That is, I mean, that's insane. Sometimes you have a bad week and you're like,
I need a drink.
Right? Or a cold beer.
Oh my God.
When did you do it? Winter?
When did I do the 100 days?
No, you just did just now.
Just now, just finished. So from January to... Do you drink a lot?
I mean, obviously, like I live in the middle of Kent. The nearest club to me is a 40-minute drive. So at the moment, no.
That's quite a nightmare, actually, if you want to go clubbing, because you then have to get a taxi there and a taxi back.
Whereabouts in Kent are you?
80 quid to the club.
Oh,
there's no point. Back.
Also, coming back from a club hammered in a cab is the worst. You're rolling around.
What are you doing?
It is pretty bad. It's pretty bad. But I'm actually trying to move up to London so I can get back on it. And summer's around the corner.
I've gone from Liverpool,
like centre of Liverpool, absolutely mad to Kent, middle of Kent, surrounded by sheep and fields.
Like, lovely. That's kind of nice. Nice little
interview. Lovely.
The reason I ask is I definitely think there's quite a big link between like boozing and mental health for sure. Like, I mean, I've seen that a lot with our friendship group. people that, you know, do party line drinking, like, does affect
I think
mental health.
Drugs are a big thing. I think London, you know, I had the statistic that London consumes more cocaine in a year than the whole of Europe combined.
Wow. It's so fascinating. So they test the water in the Thames, and they can basically tell like what everyone's using. So like it starts off on a Monday, like the cocaine level is there, and it slowly creeps up, and then it gets to the weekend on like a Saturday.
Are you serious?
Like, are they like testing it outside Parliament by any chance?
Yeah.
They're just asking them, are you on gear today?
But cocaine is a terrible drug.
You've also got all the prescription drugs as well, and they were testing lakes, I think somewhere in the Scandi countries, can't remember which one, and there was an anti-anxiety drug that was, these fish were basically consuming high levels of it, and their population was starting to die out, and they couldn't work out why they were dying. And it's because they were basically, they'd become so chilled that they
weren't having sex. Their libido had gone down.
No. They would just swim out into the waters that they shouldn't swim into because there's the predators there, and they were all just getting eaten because they were just, like zanned out their heads.
But I understand. Sort of medication towards anti-anxiety pills and things like that, and you know, like the Xanax of this world and things which are like an instant relief, I get it, and antidepressants are different, but at least they're having a I think things like cocaine and stuff like that, it's just an awful drug, makes you paranoid, makes you aggressive, makes you make wrong decisions, makes you into an idiot, you know, all these things that you see and hear and whatever it is. It's terrible. Like, and the fact that London is consuming more cocaine than the whole of Europe combined, that is crazy. No wonder people are feeling fragile and anxious. And
but they'll go and buy wholemeal bread the next day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they go and feel fine.
Yeah.
Do you think excessive drug use is a sign of like a sick society? Like, do you think London is...
Absolutely.
I think it's also the reason that you do these things. And it comes back to drinking. Like, drinking, you know, if you're doing it for the right reasons, then it's fine. And it's absolutely fine to have a nice
I love fighting.
I fucking love
a good scrap.
But it's
true.
If you are taking drugs or drinking or doing anything because you want to avoid being sober or being in that mindset, then that's the problem, right? And that's what if you go to therapy for alcoholism or drug abuse, that's what they try and get into. It's not stop taking drugs. It's a look at why you're taking them. And that's what's important to think about here. Is like, and also it comes back to this whole, if we've seen an explosion in the number of people that are mentally unwell and have anxiety and all of this, we've suddenly got drugs and alcohol that can help, right? Self-medicate. And suddenly people are like absolutely jumping on that. And it's actually, for a lot of people, unfortunately, a lot easier to go to alcohol and to drugs than it is to go into a therapist. And actually...
Cheaper, depending on what you're...
But it's, you know, it's quicker and it's a lot less intimidating for some people. You know, actually sitting down with a therapist for the first time, I know personally, was fucking terrifying. Because you're like, my first session with my counsellor, Lucy, was lovely. I was like... How does this work?
Yeah.
What are you going to do to me?
You're
going
to
connect me up to some machine or something.
Yeah.
It's really quite a scary thing to put yourself through. And so I can see why this is like a problem for people.
I think you've just hit something really profound. You go ahead, baby.
Did you find with what happened with your brother, did that force you to pick up any habits? Did you drink more? Did you, you know, pick up unhealthy? You obviously had the unhealthy way of thinking, which was the guilt, which... seems to be so common with when someone loses someone in whatever form, that guilt comes in.
Yeah.
I lost my mum to cancer and I sort of started to convince myself that it was like I could have done more and it was like my fault that I didn't explore every avenue to try and, which is irrational really when you think about it.
I mean, it's a very normal thing though. And this is what I tried to get into the book. It's like, it's very, very, all this stuff that you feel through grief and through trauma, it's very normal, right? The whole blaming yourself, it's called bargaining. It's a very common, well-researched part of grief, that whole grief like thing, you know, the curve that shows like, I don't know, what's to go like denial, then something else.
Anger, then grief,
bargaining is one, where it's all the what if questions, the what if I did this differently, what if, and obviously that you in that stage for different amounts of time for different people in different situations. For me, that was like the worst one, I think. But then this is something I wanted to get into, is like, because no one talks about this stuff, none of it seems normal. And because I was feeling this, like this self-hatred, I thought that was completely... And because I didn't know that was normal, I was like, well, it must be true. Because I didn't know that was a thing, a part of grief. And the same thing with numbness. Like actually, for a lot of the time, I didn't feel anything. Can you explain that?
What do you mean?
I went to school on Monday, less than 24 hours afterwards.
I think that's the brain's survival. Like,
it was
tactical.
I need something normal. I just need to, and I got in my car in the afternoon and I drove to school and I went in. And everyone at school had been told, and I sort of look back and I can laugh now. I'm like, that must have been fucking strange.
Fucking strange.
These like groups of people had all been told, and it was a bit like a bomb had gone off at school, and everyone sort of didn't know what to do with themselves. And then literally, I must have skipped into school. I was smiling. I was happy. They must have thought, what is this sick joke?
Your body hasn't adjusted to it.
Yeah, but I wanted something normal. I wanted to just pretend like nothing had happened. And so that's what I did. But because I felt so normal, and because I was trying to fabricate this idea of like normalcy in my life, my brain went, actually it was quite sad. My brain went, you're not reacting, you're not going through grief, you're not sad. That means you didn't love him.
Yeah.
And it sort of brought it back into that spiral of it's my fault. So that was quite difficult actually, because as soon as I would feel okay or numb, then that was just immediately used. It almost felt at some points like my brain was my enemy. It's like trying to find how I was doing something wrong. But actually, numbness, blaming yourself, it's all really, really normal. Really, really normal. It's shit. Don't get me wrong. It's awful and it makes you question everything you do, but it's really, really normal. And that's something I really want to get across to people, because so many things in life are difficult and you do feel bad, but it's really normal. I mean, one of the things that happened to me, which is just the most bizarre thing, and one day I'd love to talk to some like whiz in psychotherapy to understand it. I think it was a symptom of post-traumatic stress. I became really anxious when any doors were closed, and it was so strange. So like my bedroom door, if it was closed, you know, imagine if you were lying in bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning and it was pitch black and the light outside the window was on, and you heard noises and you're home alone and someone walked in front of the door and you could see their shadow.
Yeah.
And like the absolute terror
and
anxiety. That's what I felt whenever there was a door that was closed.
You felt like you were being what? You had this paranoia.
Absolute paranoia. And it went not just like normal doors, but like cupboard doors, drawer doors, my sock drawer, these drawers.
His language.
I've experienced something similar to that. But not any experience what you went through. But and so I don't want to take it away from you, Ben. But that you developed a really severe paranoia, OCD sort of experience, because you were just trying. I think what that explains, right, is that there was so much chaos going on in your life that you were trying to control something.
Yeah,
and it was probably the fact that you could shut these doors or keep them open or whatever it was.
Yeah, and also, I mean, again, like it's quite a normal reaction because you've gone through something traumatic. Because at the time it feels like this is not right at all. And I actually ended up going to the GP and they prescribed me with medication. I took I think one to see what it would do. But actually it like passed over a couple days, couple weeks, something like that. But
was it anti-anxiety?
It was diazepam, so yeah, anti-anxiety. Yeah, which was literally, you popped it and it made you feel a bit drunk. So that, I only used it once, like to see what it would do. But it was just sort of nice having them there rather than actually needing.
It's a safety net, right? That's what some people like it the most.
Yeah. But when you put yourself out of that position, and obviously at the time it felt really, really weird, like something was going wrong. But you've just gone through something really, really traumatic. And if you imagine your primitive brain, like of course you're going to be on absolute high alert because you've experienced something traumatic, and it doesn't know what the trauma is. It just knows, here's trauma. We want to avoid that happening again. So shit, that's a closed door. We can't have anything surprise, any trauma, any surprise. So obviously it's going to put you on high alert. And that's what post-traumatic stress is. Post-traumatic stress has a really bad name because everyone associates it with post-traumatic stress disorder. But post-traumatic stress is very, very normal. Like everyone that goes through trauma, is experienced to post-traumatic stress. It's the stress you get after having experienced trauma. Mm. Obviously, the problem comes when it becomes a disorder. But it's all of this is what I want to do. It's just like so much of this stuff is normal.
Yeah,
it's so normal, but we've kind of made it seem so scary because no one fucking says anything about it.
No one says fucking anything, dude. I'm so with you. It's mad, and we don't talk about it. And me, for many years, when I experienced my first batch of mental health, because it was a whirlwind for me for a bit. I didn't freaking talk about it because no one was talking about it. I just remember I said this to us yesterday, mate, where I used to walk around and say to my buddies, I'd be like, do you feel a bit nervous at the moment? Because I didn't know how to explain that I had this severe anxiety going on, which I was like, oh, I just feel... And I was 22 at the time when mine sort of kicked in. But you know, but I don't want to, you know, it's a tough conversation to have, but that when you find your brother who is 15 years old and he has taken his own life and you have to give him CPR, I mean, how do you even know how to perform CPR? How do you know what to do? I mean, that for me, is that just survival instinct kicking in?
It was weird. It was really weird. And actually it's almost weird looking back, you know, because of the level of trauma that night, when I try and look back and remember it, it's weird. It doesn't seem like I'm remembering my life. It honestly, genuinely seems like I'm remembering a story someone told me.
The moments around that, the time around it, it's almost like time and space freezes and it's just this weird eeriness.
Yeah. And when I look back, I actually don't picture the scene from my own eyes. I picture it from outside the room. It's very, very strange, but it almost seems like I'm separated from it. And that's exactly how I felt when... So everyone sort of has this idea of how they... And obviously it was awful to experience. And looking back, it's a horrendous, horrendous memory that is very, very difficult. But at the time, I just suddenly opened that door. So I was in bed listening to music and my mum went upstairs to check on him and obviously opened the door and found him. And she started screaming.
Oh my God.
And so I then ran out my room and ran up and opened the door. And I opened the door and obviously it was, you know, obvious what happened. That's an image, obviously, that stays with me for a very long time. But it was 2 seconds I was in there and I just sort of froze. And I was just couldn't believe what I was seeing. And then it was the most bizarre experience because I don't remember actually making any decision of what I was doing. I picked him up, took him over to a piece of open floor. And then... started doing CPR. And I remember really vividly, you know how first aid lessons they tell you to do Dr. ABC where you're danger, response, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember going through that and then sort of I got to airways and I was what the fuck am I doing if he's clearly dead, right? And I remember that so clearly. It was such a weird experience. It's why am I doing this? I just need to start CPR. And I knew CPR. I did CPR first aid training at school, which is, I'm so thankful I did because otherwise I don't know what I would have done because my mum was, you know, in an awful, awful state. But you know, people have this idea of how they're going to, you know, how they'd react.
Yeah. How would you react? Yeah.
I laughed. I was laughing. We had the 999 call handle on the phone.
Yeah, it's weird how that happens.
And my mum came in and she was hyperventilating and I thought she was going to go into shock. And I told her to sit down and put her legs up. And I laughed at the call handler and I said, I've got 2 patients now. And started laughing.
Yeah.
And that's how...
You were trying to deal with it.
I was so separated from it. And also, because obviously to portray...
But I'm so sorry, man. That is...
No, it's okay. It was a shit evening. But this is why I want to do what I do so much, because suicide, like I said, is just accepted. And if you really understand what happened that night and how fucking awful it was, we can't accept this happening. And, you know, for me, the way I can sort of try and get people to understand just how awful that was to experience. I did CPR for 25 minutes. Anyone that's done CPR on a dummy or a person knows it is absolutely exhausting. Mm. It is so exhausting. It is takes every single muscle in your shoulders, your back, your core. It's absolutely exhausting. I had a broken rib and I didn't feel it.
What? Yeah.
25 minutes. I didn't feel my broken rib. I'd broken it a few weeks ago before skiing. I had a broken rib in my back and I did 25 minutes of CPR and I didn't feel it. That's how awful that situation was, because your mind totally is fixated on this this task. And then obviously, you know, the paramedic took over. I went downstairs and I couldn't stop shaking and I was standing outside running, flagging down ambulances, and we must have the whole of Kent's emergency services. We had fire engine, police, ambulance, 15 ambulances or something ridiculous. We had the air ambulance come. And I just remember seeing all these blue lights and I threw up in the hedge. And then I had this weird moment where I genuinely didn't think it was real. So I took a photo of all the ambulances.
You think it's a dream?
I took a photo of all the ambulances and I was and actually it was such an incredible moment because I was oh, of course it's not real. And I felt so much better. And I actually felt okay because I was oh, this is sick. It's just a really weird dream. And obviously I woke up the next morning and that photo is still on my phone. Oh. Which is, really, really awful.
But the dream thing I relate to is I proposed to my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And the next day she had a problem where I had to go to hospital and she her blood wasn't producing enough oxygen. And I was in the hospital with her and she kept saying to me, I think I'm going to die. I think I'm going to die. And I just, I was saying it's okay. And she was getting bluer and bluer and bluer. And in my head, I was just thinking, this isn't happening. Mm. This is a dream. Mm. This is just a dream. I'm going to wake up. This is fine. This is not happening. And that was just her not producing enough oxygen. I can't even imagine that situation. It's so extreme, so out of the ordinary, so separate to what should be happening in the life is that you can't comprehend it.
No.
It has to be a dream.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like we're just not conditioned or equipped to be able to deal with that type of stuff. That's why you have this mad separation, because your brain just literally goes, this is fucked. I don't know what this is. Yeah. Can't do it.
Again, very natural though. Because like, imagine cavemen, us, walking around doing something like that. The worst possible thing you could do right then is panic and lose control. You need to have that fail safe in your brain that goes, right, we're going to absolutely get rid of reality for a second. We're going to pretend this is a dream. And then you can function normally again. Like, again, this whole goes for the whole thing. It feels weird, but it's a really normal thing. It's really normal. And it actually, when you kind of put it into the primitive like perspective, it makes so much sense. But that was an awful, awful evening. And obviously, you know, that the next few days, as anyone that's experienced that sort of thing or grief in any way, is just,
it's horrendous. Horrible.
Absolutely horrible.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the ripple effect as well, as that you said before, right? Is that, you know, we have some great family friends, and their little boy took his own life recently. He walked into the woods and he shot himself. You know, the family, you got the family there. I can't even just tell, it's just awful. But the ripple effect to my family, mm-hmm. to my stepmother, who was close, you know, all of that happens. How is your mum? Is she, you know, how does a mother deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah. Was awful. The whole, everything was awful. And like you said, so many people were affected. Everyone at school had to shut early that day, let everyone go home. Awful. My mum has very much like dived into the mental health thing. She's doing a master's in mental health at the moment. She trains teachers in mental health first amazing. Aid. She's very much, you know, thrown herself into this, which is amazing for her. And it's sort of the similar thing to me, is like, one of our coping mechanisms is being able to use it to try and help. And you know, I would not have got through that. I don't think I would have got through that year. I don't think without that positivity that I got from campaigning and trying to help people, like to be able to almost, because obviously
did you get depressed afterwards?
Yeah, I think it's only natural, isn't it?
To feel awful. Yeah, it's not.
And yeah. Sam died in January. I started uni in September and I was shipped off to Liverpool. I was like, is great. And so it all came very, very quickly. I mean, I had fucking exams.
Yeah.
A-level exams. And that's part of the reason I was like, I cannot revise. Hate revision. I've never been very good at revision. Mm. And I was like, I don't want to revise because that leaves me alone with my thoughts. I didn't like that. So I sort of made the charity walk, and we branded the charity walk. It was bright pink. It was fun.
Colours.
It was happy. All right. And I was like, I want something positive to do. And because anyone that's been through grief knows it's an absolute, the worst possible feeling, because you don't feel like you want to do anything. You feel like it's you against the world in a lot of situations. And for me, the campaigning was just a way of like getting that handle back on life and getting control again and getting something positive, because I'm a positive person.
It's
right?
Amazing that you had that about, like, that sort of intelligent, that sort of emotional intelligence about you, that you knew this is what I have to do, otherwise I'm going to suffer. A lot of people wouldn't have that. A lot of people go through a similar experience or whatever experience and they spiral downwards. You realize that you could spiral, so you just had to cling on. You had to sort of white knuckle it and hold on, and otherwise if you let go, you would spiral.
Yeah, although you could put it as like my way of coping was just a good way of coping.
Yeah,
and I don't, true. And in the same way, very, very easily could have been alcohol or drugs that I went and got into instead. You know, my way of finding something happy happened to be something that was good and positive and constructive. It very, very easily could have been, like self-harm or drug abuse or alcoholism. Like, it very, very easily could have been that. And sometimes we sort of see people that have got, you know, alcohol dependent and people that have those sorts of problems, and then people that, like me, that have reacted in a good way as different. But actually, we're exactly the same. Mm. We've just found something that makes us feel good in a really shit time. And actually, there's not much difference between those two things. But obviously, my way has allowed me to sort of process what's gone on and learn about mental health. I mean, the amount I've learnt about my own mental health and over the last 4 years is incredible. And I've almost, like, my mental fitness is so strong now. I've worked so, so hard on that. And I think this isn't a thing that enough people talk about. It's like, you know, you can train your body in a gym.
Yeah, train your
physically.
Mind.
You get to a point where you're mentally fit. Oh my God, the world is your oyster, right?
I say it all the time. Your brain becomes weak at times. So you're either feeling anxious, depressed, your OCD is kicked in, you are constantly worried about something. Yeah. If you slowly train, it's like lifting up a weight. You can't get that negative thought out of your mind because it's too strong. And so you can't do it. You slowly train yourself like you're doing in the gym. And then slowly by more, you can push it away. Your brain becomes stronger and push it away. But you're not hiding it. You're just learning to deal with it. And you become stronger until you can hold that thought at a distance and just brush it. It doesn't consume you.
Mm.
I said all the time, I get almost emotional about these things because, you know, 15 years old.
Mm.
And the statistics you said that 7%, or I saw that you said 7% of kids are feeling this way. Of attempted suicide, 49%, you know, that's that thing that you said in your school, or that 49% of students have had suicidal thoughts. What really upsets me massively is that suicide is such a final decision.
Mm.
It's such a final decision. And what young kids don't realize, if they're going through it, they're listening to this right now, is that you can get through it and you can get past it. And it doesn't matter if you're diagnosed with depression or anxiety, OCD, that's okay. The worst piece of advice is, I think it's the best and worst. The worst piece of advice is to say to someone, don't worry, you'll learn to deal with it. It'll be with you there, but you'll learn to deal with it. I got told that about my anxiety and I was like, well, what the hell? I can't, that freaks you out. It's also the best piece of advice because actually you do learn to deal with it and you can live on. You can live a completely normal life. And actually you lead even a better life because you understand yourself more. And my thing that I get upset about is that these young kids don't realize they're going to get through it because they haven't experienced it before. And they're too young to understand that. And that's what's so shit.
Yeah. People have this like this misconception about suffering with mental illness, that you are weak because you're suffering with a mental illness. You're weak because you have anxiety. You're weak because you self-harm, or you're weak because you've attempted suicide. I have met so many people over the last 4 years that have attempted suicide, that have been very, very close to dying, that have been saved by the amazing emergency services we have. I've met people that have incredibly debilitating mental illness that have spent most of the last 4 years in a mental health unit. These people are not weak. They are the strongest people I have ever met, because anyone that can be in a position where they wake up every single day to a brain that tells you that you and everyone else around you is better off if you are dead, and still goes on and still makes it to the next day and still stays around, fuck, that is
strength like I don't know.
Yeah.
That is absolutely incredible. And so whenever all this conversation goes, mental illness is weakness, that is so far from the truth. It is incredible to be able to put up with that and to believe in yourself that you're going to find the end. And just echo what you said, like if anyone out there is feeling like there's nothing to live for, or they're feeling like they might, you know, want to consider ending their own life, it does get better. It really, really does. And the fact that you have got this far through that dark patch, and the fact that you can make it to tomorrow if you choose to, that's strength.
Yeah.
And be very, very proud of the fact that you're able to do that.
And just don't give up. Yeah. Like, this is the biggest thing, right? Like, even if you feel that no one wants you or no one needs you or whatever you're feeling right now, just don't give up. Because there is someone who wants you and needs you. And there are people out there that you just don't know. And all these things, just never give up. And I think what happens is that if you have a friend or a neighbor or a brother or a sister or a cousin that is feeling distant, speak to them. If you yourself are feeling that same way, you know, speak to other people about the way that you're feeling. And people aren't taking medication because they're worried about what will happen to them.
Explore that option, talk to your GP.
And it just, I think just more, we got to push that message out there without a doubt that this is what people should be doing. And it would save millions and millions and millions of people. Mm. I did this police show a few years ago where I was in Peterborough. And the first thing that the guy I was working with said, I said, oh, what are we going to find tonight? He said, well, I don't know, but this week we'll find someone hanging. And I went, sorry, what? He said, yeah, 100%. Well, I reckon we find two or three a week. Mm. I was like, what? He said, yeah, it's so casual, like it was just a normal thing. And so I think that just because I know what I personally have been through and how much I sort of struggled in certain areas, and then you get through, and I was lucky. I could pay for therapists, I had a loving family, I could do all these different things, right? I was the lucky one, right? Because I had all the resources in order to get better. And people aren't that lucky, but I just think, hold on.
Yeah. Do you want another statistic as well on that's going to absolutely blow your mind? So when we talk about schools and the training in schools, you know, all teachers have to know how to react to anaphylactic shock, right? And for the book, I did like a little bit of research into the numbers of people that suffer with anaphylactic shock and are hospitalized for anaphylactic shock in a school each year. 2019, between ages of like 13 and 18, 1,100 anaphylactic shock cases that need hospitalization. In the same time period, for the same age groups, 19,000 people were admitted to hospital for intentional self-harm or self-poisoning.
Oh my God.
19,000.
Nuts.
Right? That's so we changed legislation to support 1,100 hospitalizations a year, which is amazing, by the way, really important. Amazing. But we haven't done the same for 19,000. And you're right about, you know, if there's support available, reach for it, get that support, get that help. Medication, talk to your GP, get that help. But
message
so many
us.
People...
You know what I mean? Yeah, message one of us.
But for so many people, that clinical support just isn't available. The NHS is a fantastic thing, but when it comes to mental health and certain mental health conditions, it is very, very frustrating for everyone that obviously works in it. You know, if you are presenting with mental health issues and you're worried about yourself, or you even think about wanting to kill yourself, and you go to your GP, unfortunately we're in a position where if you haven't already attempted suicide, you're very unlikely to be seen anywhere near enough. It can be months if you haven't already attempted suicide. That is the point we're at the moment. And that's not to say, you know, me encouraging people to make their condition worse. That's me highlighting how far we need to go to get this system to react quick enough and to intervene quick enough, because we should not be giving support to people because they've attempted suicide. We need to be giving support to people before they've attempted suicide. At the moment, we're just not doing that. And it's the same with eating disorders. It's exactly the same with suicide. And that's the situation. And I've seen that over the last 4 years. And that's why I wanted to do the book. I want to teach people about mental health. This is what I've been through. This is why it's shit. This is how I reacted. But oh my God, look at the people I've spoken to, the NHS, the money that needs to go into there, the really simple solutions that we can put in schools, that early intervention that treat and help students and change the culture in schools and universities and the support they need to offer. And this is why I want to do the book. And this is why the title, I want it to be called This Book Could Save Your Life, because not only can the knowledge about your own mental health and talking to others save people's lives, but on a larger scale, if we make small changes, if we train all teachers in mental health first aid, imagine how many people are going to spot those signs earlier and get into support earlier. If we put a little bit more funding into GPs and early intervention and getting people support sooner, not 5 months later, sooner, how many lives are going to be saved? So this book could save your life both personally, but also, you know, that extends to a wider society too, because those small changes, even the cost-effective small changes on a large scale, have a huge, huge impact. But it's an uphill battle. So if Boris, you want another word, you know where I am.
Damn fucking straight. Damn.
There you go.
Fucking
straight.
I can't
mic drop because the microphone's attached to
that. I love that. Buddy, where can we get your book?
Amazon, Woodstones, WH Smith, anywhere. On my Instagram, there's a link in my bio at Iron Bam West. Like, go and just go through the bio. Please do buy it. I think it can
and
be really helpful.
I'm going to leave all the links below as well for you 100%.
Amazing. Thank you.
Ben, I love it when people come on and they're authentic and they tell their story and they do it in such a, just such a real way. I really appreciate it. I love to your family and, you know, everyone.
Thank you.
You know, that, your story is affected and all those people and just for such a young person in the most unpatronizing way, you're just doing some incredible things. It's amazing.
Yeah. In fairness though, a 22-year-old shouldn't be doing this. No. It should all be done, right?
Yeah, it's so true. You should not be doing this. No. You should be out clubbing in that 40-minute club away, having fun and not be doing
sheep.
This. With the sheep, exactly. Dude, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. It means the world. Go and get Ben's book. We'll leave the link below. It's incredible. What we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I've already pretty much dried up all of the inspirational stuff. I think for me, it's a case of, again, reiterating that if you are struggling, you're not weak. And if you are having a bad day, it's not because you're wrong or something's going wrong with you. You know, anyone is going to struggle if they're not given the support or they're not giving themselves the support that they need. If you have a bad day physically, if you have the flu or if you, you know, tear a muscle, you're going to rest. You're going to look after that. You're going to ice it. You're going to do all this stuff. With mental health, we just don't have the same thing. So if you're having a bad day, have sympathy on yourself, you know?
Yes.
Have sympathy. Be like, you know what? I'm not able to get out of bed this morning. I have no motivation. And don't beat yourself up for it. Think, okay, maybe that's my brain telling me that I need to slow down. Have sympathy. I think a large part of the reason we've got so many mental health problems is because our internal voices are so negative and we're constantly at ourselves and telling ourselves bad things and being negative towards ourselves. If you can change, and this is something I've worked very, very hard to do, if you can change your internal conversation to be positive and sympathetic and empathetic towards yourself and be like, no, I'm not eating a whole tub of ice cream because I'm lazy or something. I'm doing that because that's a fun and comforting thing to do. Fine. Stop beating yourself up for everything, right? Your internal voice is a reason our internal voices are a reason that we've got so many problems. And if you can be sympathetic to yourself, then you change everything. And if you want a day off, and you can have a day off, obviously, and want a day in bed and want to look after yourself, then do that. But try and change that conversation in your head to be more positive and more empathetic. That will solve a lot of problems for people.
Ben West, that was insane. Guys, thank you so much. Everybody, we're going to see you next week. Bye-bye!
Thank you.
What an episode.
So cool. What an amazing story.
Amazing.
Very inspirational dude.
I know we say this before, by the way, to everyone who's listened to the episode and has been triggered or they have, they're looking for websites that they can turn to. We're going to leave loads of links below in the description. Mm. So you can click on those things. And there are lots of different places you can go to ask for help. Josh, what is the one thing that you do to make yourself feel better? The one tip that you have?
What, one practical thing?
One practical thing.
Well, I talk a lot about, the importance of remembering that things will always get better.
Mm.
And the importance of asking for help. But if you wanted something really, really practical, it would be exercise.
Yeah.
It's the single most important thing for me and lots of people. And the good news is the science, you don't have to be obsessive about it. It's 3 times a week, 30 minutes a go, and try to focus on things which are aerobic and repetitive. So running, rowing, cycling, swimming, things like that. That's the thing that I find. And it's difficult because at the exact moment when you're feeling your most depressed or your most anxious, pretty much the last thing you want to do is put your trainers on and go for a run. But that's the thing that I've If I can do it, I find to be the most powerful.
It's funny, they say that about meditation. They say, I always go, I don't have time to meditate. And they go, well, you're the exact... As soon as you say, I don't have time to meditate, is the precise time you should be meditating.
Yeah.
Right? That's totally it.
What about you then? You would say meditation?
Cold therapy.
Oh,
cold therapy, 100%.
I've been doing that. Well, I know, but I do the sort of bargain basement, you know, Aldi middle aisle version of it.
Which is?
Well, I just have a cold shower for an hour and a half in the morning. Whereas I know you go off and...
I get to cry.
Wim Hof, rubs you down.
Wim Hof and, just holds me.
Yeah, and I exactly. Hold me, Wim.
I go to hold me, Wim. I go to a sort of cryotherapy chamber, which goes to -145, and I do it for 3 minutes. Mm. I did it this morning.
Wow.
Yeah. There we go. Hey, listen,
Wait, say that again. How cold is it?
Goes -145 Fahrenheit, not Celsius, I think.
Okay.
It's cold.
Is it painful?
Yeah, it hurts a little bit, but 3 minutes, you feel great.
3 minutes is long though, isn't it? Have you been building up to that?
We've got dinner coming up. Why don't, before we go to dinner, I'll take you.
It sounds fun, yeah.
Do you want to do it?
I'd actually quite like to do that. What do you wear? What do you wear?
No, you wear boxers.
Pants.
And gloves and shoes.
And a hat.
No hat.
And a ski suit.
yeah. And you have a nice little cocktail. It's quite nice.
Fuck, I'd love to try that.
Well, let's do it. Before we go to dinner, we'll go and do it together.
You can't get two people in a tub. No, we do it in turns.
We do it in turns. But we watch each other and cheer each other on.
Mate, I'll never go in.
Yeah, you will.
If I go second, I'll just watch you go in. I'll be like,
okay, we're going to do it. We have dinner coming up. We're going to do it before dinner. All right. Listen, I also do want to just push Josh because not only is he just generous and kind and all these and great friend, he's a fantastic author. And if you haven't read his books, I may sound biased, but I'm really not. Truly, they are. Generation Drift, which is one of his books, his brand new book, and The Anxious Man is his original book. Both are incredible. One is about careers. That's Generation Drift. The other one is about just his own experience with anxiety and anxiety in general. Go and check them out. Amazon, his Instagram, The Anxious Man. Go and check out all those things. We'll leave the links below as well. Joshy, I love you. You're fantastic.
Love you too, man.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week for another bonus episode and another episode on Friday. Until then, have a great week. Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.